pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning and welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. Hour number three underway. Thank you very much for joining us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning, school choice, permitless carry, critical race theory, any of that stuff, feel free to respond, and we'll try to catch up on those texts throughout the program. And about a half hour from now, our returning champion joins us, State Senator Chris Elliott. Like I said, about 30 minutes or so. But in studio with us, very pleased to bring on my next guest, a very good friend of the program, State Representative Shane Stringer of Citronelle. Representative, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Before we get into the central issue here, let's talk legislature session back underway, coming out of special session. Pretty chaotic, I think, week for as far as the weeks in the legislature go. Everybody kind of running around trying to get stuff done. But how's it going so far?
It's going good. I think everybody's kind of worried we may end soon or end sooner than normal. So everybody's trying to get their agendas accomplished, and a lot of work going on, a lot of moving.
Yeah, well, then this year in particular, you lost 2020 because of COVID-19. So there's still, unlike any fourth year of a quadrennium, I suppose, there's still a lot of ground to make up right now.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get their bills and their agendas and legislation passed. So a lot of shaking and moving going on.
Yeah, well, you can just tell the lobbyists out in force and the lawmakers up and down the elevator. But you're the I would say one of the primary forces in a constitutional carry bill. Long documented supporter of it this year. Once we got that prohibited users database, then you, your colleague Prancy Robertson's another one that comes to mind, kind of move toward this idea of a permitless carry system, that we now know who the bad actors are that aren't allowed to have firearms. We can move forward and get back, kind of try to do something, at least in the spirit of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, we've got Prancy's bill passed that prohibited person database. It should be coming up around October the 1st, I believe. It's going to be the best tool law enforcement's ever seen. It's going to allow them to run a person and determine if they are prohibited from owning firearms, and not just from Alabama, from across the country. It's going to be kind of like running a complete background check, criminal history, but a lot quicker.
How does that work across the country beyond the confines of Alabama?
It's going to be connected into NCIC and ACGIS, and it will be able to run that information. That information will be connected and hooked into the database.
So if you're on a prohibited a holders list in Oregon or something, it would be connected to that?
That's right. If you've been convicted of a felony or a prohibited offense, it will input that information, and it will allow the law enforcement officer on the side of the road or at a domestic or wherever to see that information and know that they are not supposed to have a firearm.
So, but your effort now, it looks like, it was sailing pretty high heading into this year, into this session. You had a lot of marquee big names in the legislature sponsoring or co-sponsoring it, including the Speaker, Mac McCutcheon, a former hostage negotiator for the Huntsville Police Department, which is a big deal. It looked to me like, well, if the Speaker's backing it, it's going to get an opportunity. You had some other big names on that list as well. But it's not quite that easy, is it?
No, there's a lot of moving parts with this. And, it ain't over until it's over. You just work hard every day, and you continue to work and meet with all the different groups that are interested. And that includes our K-12 system, our higher ed, the BCA, manufacturer, the business owners and business community, and the sheriffs and law enforcement community, and just listening and less trying to put everything that we can to make this the best bill that we can.
Well, tell me, what were some of the hiccups here? What were some of the objections or things that these interested parties wanted to see changed?
Well, we wanted the business community wanted to kind of make sure that things stay the same as they are now, which is where an employee can carry a weapon in their car to work and from work. It just has to stay in the vehicle and secured. They just wanted to make sure that that stayed in place, that people couldn't bring guns into their work, which it does stay the same. The K-12 system had some concerns and issues. Currently, you can carry a firearm into a sporting event or school if you have a Alabama permit, and they actually wanted to do away with that provision. We've looked at all of that. I think that's going to actually stay the exact same. I think the schools will still be able to prohibit firearms on their campuses if they choose, but not a lot changed with that. The sheriffs have asked for a lot of different stuff, including, you know, wanting to make this apply to only Alabama citizens, which the Constitution applies to everybody, so we couldn't do that. So we're trying to listen. There were some concerns with the database on whether this was going to only contain information on prohibited people from Alabama and how we were going to deal with the out-of-state people. Well, we have since learned from Aaliyah that it's not. It's going to pertain to everybody across the country. So that's going to be a plus and help. So we're still working with them. They are going to actually come to the committee meeting next Wednesday and speak at the public hearing on the update of the prohibited person database and what it can accomplish.
So it sounds like you got a lot of things working in your favor there. Which of these are are you willing to accept some of these, or the people that are supporting this bill, I suppose? Do you feel like you're in a good place where you can accept some of these changes and implement them?
Yeah, we've looked at some. You know, one of the main things the business community wanted is they wanted, currently they use your permit, which, you know, when you get a permit, they run all your mental health issues. They run all the provisions that you require to have a permit. So the businesses typically use your permit as that background that's been done. Well, once the permit requirement is not there, then they can no longer use that. So they were looking for a way to do it. So they're going to have access to the prohibited person database through law enforcement for a small fee, where they can, you know, they can have that ran on an employee that, you know, I guess in pre-employment hire, and that's also with the the employee's signature and approval.
Do you find the support still there? There's some people that take issue with some of these changes. The most strident of the constitutional carry advocates don't like this watering down. But do you find that it still sort of lives in the spirit of what you were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I don't think you're able to pass the perfect bill in anywhere. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of negotiation going on to make these things happen, and I think the bill is still solid. The NRA and some of the different gun groups are okay with it. You know, they didn't like some of the changes, but it didn't affect the bill and hurt it. I think I tell everybody, I don't think nobody's completely happy, and probably when you're getting to that point, you're getting to a good deal.
But you feel like you're heading in a good place here, that this is something that is, I guess, better, more likely to actually get done this year.
Yeah, I think we've got a good bill. Everyone that I've showed it to, I kind of met with, you know, everybody I could yesterday, including the Democrat Party, and just passing the bill out and letting everybody read it and go over it. And if they had any questions, to contact me. We'll be passing out some bullet points and what the bill does next week at a committee. And I think we're close. You know, in Montgomery, you never know until it's over. But I think we're making headway and we're getting where we want to be.
Have you been able to hold together the support you got for it inside the House?
Yeah. You know, we wind up going back yesterday, and because of some of the changes, and redrafted the bill and dropped it in a new bill, and got just as many. I had 38 signatures before. I got 38 signatures this time. And there was a couple people that was out that wasn't even able to sign. So I would have had a couple more signatures on this bill.
How different will your bill be from what the Senate got done?
It's a lot different. But, you know, I'm working with the Senate sponsors upstairs, Gerald Allen and Tim Meltzen, and we are probably going to adopt the bill that I have downstairs once this is complete in the Senate, and that way we have one unified bill. There's been a lot more work put into the bill downstairs than upstairs, so I think they're in agreement to let's accept the bill from downstairs.
Because it seems to me that's where the opponents really focus their energy, that this has passed the Senate before, and it happens, it just goes to the House to die. That the opponents think, that I would say the Sheriff's Association and some of the left-wing gun control groups really focused on your body to try to slow this down.
Yeah, they're working them hard, and they're putting some of them under a lot of pressure, and but I still think they're standing strong and going to do the right thing. And, you know, I just remind everybody, we represent the people, not just one group, whatever group that is. And keep that in mind, and listen to your constituents, and everybody is. Everybody I talk to, every single legislator tells me they only get a couple opposing this bill, and then they getting a lot supporting it.
So, and just giving us the X's and O's right now, it's still in this committee process right now, and then it's then the floor vote will happen later.
That's right. The Senate version passed committee this Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we will go to committee with the House version. It'll be a public hearing. I do not know if the chairman is going to choose to vote that Wednesday or if we'll vote the following Wednesday. And then once it passes, then we'll decide when it goes to the floor.
So that's what we should be watching this week. It could be pivotal, but it also could come next week, because typically you have, I guess, that public safety committee is it's a Wednesday kind of deal.
Yeah, and I think that's where we stand now. It's scheduled for a Wednesday, and, you know, we'll go there. And, you know, right now, you know, I don't know where we stand on the votes. It's going to be a close vote. I think from what I gather, we've got the votes. But as I've said before, that can change in a moment's notice.
Well, it's all Republicans, right? You don't have any Democrat support.
No Democrat support. And there's a couple of Republicans that are concerned about issues, and
so you got to keep as many Republicans together as possible. So, for that reason, that's where this wheeling and dealing kind of comes into play, right?
That's right, and a lot of it's just keeping them informed and making sure they're getting the accurate information instead of a lot of the false information that's being put out on the bill.
Were you surprised to see that many sheriffs, that much law enforcement, police departments from around the state? Because I knew they were going to make a stand. I knew, and I figured it was all, you know, going to come after the qualifying deadline had passed, that, you know, you didn't want to give any potential challenger an issue to run against an incumbent. But, you know, being in Montgomery was full of sheriffs from around the state this week. They're all in uniform, and you could all, you know, all unique uniforms. I guess I was like, wow, they really did, like, just show up in force en masse this week.
I wasn't quite surprised by it. You know, a lot of the sheriffs didn't come themselves. They sent deputies. You know, right. They'd send two or three deputies. And, you know, it wasn't as big of a presence as I thought it could be. You know, you got 67 counties across the sheriff. If each one of them was to send, you know, two people, that's a lot of people standing out there, and it wasn't that many. So I was kind of shocked. But, you know, I have been reached I've had several sheriffs throughout the state, I'd say probably about 12 that's reached out to me, or 13 that are in support of this bill. So, you know, they're kind of divided on it too, and so is the law enforcement community. You know, right here at home, I get lots and lots and lots of calls from the local law enforcement officers on the street that support the bill and agree with what we're doing. Of course, because of their position, they can't openly say nothing, and I understand that. But, and then there's been a couple that are, you know, I guess close to the sheriff and different ones like that have called opposing it. But really, it's no comparison to how many supporters to how many opposers. That's very few.
Well, I mean, the media really played up that imagery. You got all those uniformed law enforcement officers. Look at what, you know, you're working against here. Just, you know, they do what they do. But that is kind of an effective political tool for the groups there, I think. But, hey, can you stick over one more segment? We'll pick it up on the other side, talk a little bit about Highway 45.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again. Cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.
All right, let's take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur.
to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. Real quick, coming up Monday on the program, State Auditor Jim Ziegler running for Secretary of State and apparently the front runner. We'll hear from him. Dell Jackson from WVNN, our usual Monday guest for some reason, backed by popular demand. I don't get it, but you guys love him. Judy Barlow and Melinda McGee of the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Club moderating one of their forums coming up, but we're going to talk a little bit about that, and that's coming up next week. Maybe we'll try to get some of that on air, but we're working out some details. And then finally, we've been talking a lot about school choice. Earl Johnson, he's the mayor of Andalusia, Alabama, not a proponent at all. He's an opponent of school choice, and I think makes a compelling case. So we'll talk to him. That's coming up on Monday. But still with us right now for just a few more minutes, Representative Shane Stringer in studio. Representative, the other thing that you've been really kind of been working on, and this goes right through the middle of your district, Highway 45. And whenever this is brought up, I remember as being a kid evacuating because of one of the hurricanes and being just stuck on 45. And then, you know, maybe third or fourth grade or something like that. But then... Then here I am in my mid-40s, and it's still the same rickety two-lane road it's always been. It hasn't been improved, even though the state of Mississippi has made it four-lane all the way from border to border. Alabama just not interested in this. But it's still a safety concern rather than and a traffic concern as well. You getting any feedback, any update on that?
I have another meeting scheduled with Director Cooper with ALDOT, you know, continue to push them and try to get them to consider us doing this and projects, maybe either 10 or 15 mile segments. The road's roughly 60 miles. I can understand trying to do a 60 mile stretch of four lanes got to be very costly. So, you know, hopefully we can convince them to tackle the worst part, the most dangerous part. I did notice in the last press release that ALDOT put out, you know, they put that most of the deaths they believe are related to distracted drivers, and you know, I don't doubt that, but and they relate that to this being the deadliest highway in Alabama. But I just absolutely cannot believe that Highway 45 is the only road that has distracted drivers.
You are right. Yeah, it's just you add the element of distracted driving on a stretch of road like 45, then it maybe compounds it. But there's distracted drivers everywhere, all over Alabama.
Yeah, and I can remember, growing up, Highway 98, it was known as Bloody 98 over the years. And, you know, they went in there and they four-laned all of it except for about 7 miles, 6 or 7 miles. And you don't hardly hear of a fatality wreck out there now. There are some here and there. Highway 43 on the east side of my district's the same way. You know, back when it was two-lane, it was a lot of fatalities. And now there's very few over there. So it obviously helps and makes sense to do this. And, you know, I hear of other legislators getting four-lane projects in their area in North Alabama. So I know there's money there. And I do know that they have to distribute that out equally and the best they can. So I'm going to continue to fight and push for them to do something with our area.
Well, and just like I said, it's just remarkable that it hasn't been four-lane yet. But the thing about that, I assume even before the advent of cell phone technology and people being distracted on their phones, it was still a very dangerous stretch of highway.
Yeah, it's been a deadly highway as long as I've been alive. And, you know, I've talked to legislators. They've been fighting this fight, I know, for over 30 years. I can remember as a kid, J.E. Turner, which was a representative in this district from where I am, he fought hard for it. So, you know, we've kicked the can down the road long enough on this issue. It's time to address it. And I really believe if they'll come in and address the most dangerous segment of it first, they're going to see a dramatic decrease in fatalities.
Well, just be said, not this last time they passed the gas tax, but the time before that, it was supposed to be done. It was statutorily mandated, but they took it away. Representative, we're out of time here, but you've been very kind to come on. Let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Sitting right here at the floor of family.